Let's continue to pray. Father, this morning, it's so overwhelming to be together in your presence. Lord, to worship you, and Father, as we've been reminded to seize every moment, and we seize this moment with you. Father, we pray as your people for one another. And Father, as we pray for one another, we think, Lord, of the various health needs among us as a congregation. And Father, we think of Murray and Hertha, and Lord, we pray that you would be very close to them, and may they feel your encouragement today. Lord, we pray for Shirley Talbot, and Father, we pray as well that she's encouraged as well today, and Lord, that she would feel your strength and your peace. For Lillian and Nathan and Lori and Megan, and Lord, for Rosalind, Carol Hall's mom, and Louie, her husband, we lift them to you, Father, and on all these situations we give to you and hand them to you, because you know better, Lord, what is to occur in each heart and life better than we know. But we pray, Father, that you would be ever present with them, and that you would encourage each person and each family member involved, God. Give them courage and strength as they walk through a process with their loved one who's not well. Father, we praise you for the dedication that we have this morning of Jason and Becky and presenting little Nolan. And Lord, we praise you for that act of new life and celebration in this church. We also praise you for Karsten Dawn, and Lord, we pray that you would continue to give to her good health and be with Brett and Marina as parents, that you would give them wisdom as they raise their child before you. Lord, it's good for us to come together and to praise you and to pray for one another. And Lord, we pray for those who couldn't be here today. We think of Mary Warkentine, Annette Kreider, Elizabeth Neal, and Sophie Zielinski. And Father, we lift them to you and pray that they would be encouraged today. And Father, we also, as your people, pray for all those churches that are worshiping you today, that glorify you as Lord. We pray that you would bless them, that you would give them today, Lord, even your peace, and may they be obedient to you. To your kingdom and to your glory, we pray all these things. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's good to... Isn't that a great day today? Huh? Amen? Okay, good. No. It's not raining. That's right.
It's true.
It's actually warm. That's your weather report? Yeah. Just think, this is the start of July. Hey, you're all going, it's June. I know, but just be prepared. Winter's yet to come. Anyway, Fred and Ethel, they lived for many years in the backwoods of Saskatchewan, and one day they decided they should venture out and see the world. And so they booked a flight to London, England, and when the time came to leave, they boarded a four-engine plane for the flight. And shortly after departing, the captain, he came on the PA system, and he said that they had just experienced an engine failure. He reassured them that the plane flew perfectly well on three engines, but it was a little bit slower, and they wouldn't arrive in London until 4 p.m. A little later, captain made another announcement that they had lost a second engine, but the plane could easily fly on two, and since it was slower, they would arrive now 6 o'clock p.m. An hour went by. Things were going smooth. The captain announced that the third engine had quit. Once again, he told everyone, "Don't worry, it's all right. However, our flight is going to be considerably slower. We will not arrive in London until 11 p.m. The captain finished speaking. Fred turned to Ethel and said, "I sure hope that other engine doesn't quit. or we're going to be up here all night. That has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but it was a good joke. No, this morning, I am so thrilled to talk about an engine in our life that never fails. It always runs to get us to our final destination. I want to speak about the joy of divine direction this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, and so today we get to not just hear from God's word, we get to celebrate around his table. And this is truly a moment in our lives that is a time of celebration. This morning it's my prayer that you will understand the joy discovered in the divine director of our lives. So appropriate for us as we look at Pentecost Sunday to look at the Holy Spirit, our comforter and our encourager. And I invite you to turn to John chapter 15 in your Bibles as we dig into God's word this morning and see what the Lord spoke to us, not just to his disciples, but spoke to us about the Holy Spirit. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15. And there's pew Bibles there, the blue ones. Take them out and you can flip the pages there. Well, first of all, we need to understand what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit transforms your life. See, if you look at verse 26 and 27 here, these are Jesus' words. He says in John 15, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I've told you in chapter 16, so that you will not go astray. Right? Now that's important to remember. The Holy Spirit transforms your life. Throughout Scripture, we note time and time and time again how the Holy Spirit transformed people. Peter was transformed. Paul the Apostle was transformed. Transformation took place throughout the apostles. The Holy Spirit completely revolutionized their lives. Those who've been troubled, those who were fearful, no longer struggle with those feelings. The once frightened, the unsure, the confused, the timid individuals never again evidence such inadequacies. It's because of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus points out, the Holy Spirit is very shy, very timid. Because as Jesus says, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify, the Counselor, will testify about me, Jesus Christ. I love that. So the Holy Spirit it's called the Paraclete in the Greek. Paraclete, write it down, P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. See, I could be a 14-year-old in a spelling bee, no problem. I can spell Greek. This implies, the word Paraclete implies comforter, one who comes alongside to encourage and help, one whom we can call to our aid. How many of you when you were a child had a favorite comforter? Don't be shy, come on. Come on. How many of you had a favorite teddy bear then? Oh. How many of you have anything favorite? There we go. Comfort. I was like Linus. I had a little, you know, off the Peanuts cartoon. I had a little blanket and I held on to that thing. And my brother had one. It was called a thistle. You know, I don't know why he called it that, because he kept saying thistle. You know, this is my blanket. But, you know, I don't know about you, but to know that the Counselor has come is such a joy for me. To know that when I'm hurting, when I'm walking through an intense moment in my life, when I'm troubled, when I'm frustrated, when I'm confused, when I'm extremely discouraged, the Spirit is there to comfort me, and as I choose to cry out to Him, to call to Him for power that a person possesses is the power to choose. How are you choosing today? Who are you choosing today? See, the result of the Spirit's filling and presence should be a deep sense of comfort, a deep sense of strength. There should be a sense of lightness and ease, not weight and despondency. Ah. I'm sorry, you didn't get to see that. Oh. Okay, now you got it, you see? There should never be a movement towards passivity, to being passive, or to the thinking that the Holy Spirit will just, I'll just wait, and the Holy Spirit will just come over and take control. In passivity, any control that is taken will be taken control by the kingdom of darkness. If you just sit and wait, well, just, I'll open my mind, just wait. The Holy Spirit waits as the Comforter to come. Comes alongside to help. Jesus explained, a helper comes alongside to comfort and empower action that's taken in the will of the Father. Anything that's other than one of the fruits of the Spirit is not from Christ. That's why I'm so glad that we have the Word of God to get into and see what the fruit of the Spirit talks about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. See, and if you look, when the Counselor comes, Him I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. Points to Christ. When the Helper arrived, the people of God were bold in faith and confident in God. They were transformed people. But having been transformed by the Helper whom Jesus had sent, the disciples did not turn the scene into a man-glorifying sideshow act. Followers of Jesus didn't look any different physically. They didn't suddenly become learned men, nor were they dramatically sophisticated and refined. I mean, they were fishermen still. And they remained who they were, but deep inside, deep within, deep down inside of them, they were nothing like they had been. They were transformed. Why? Because the Helper had come. They were invaded by God's Spirit, and they had a courage that could not be explained. They had joyful perseverance to carry on the things of Christ. If this is the transformation that takes place for you, look at this wonderful cartoon.
Earl, maybe you were right. Maybe I have been a little grumpy. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to be more pleasant.
Wow. I wonder what got into her. Maybe she did a little soul searching.
Next one. Or it could be that 2-pound chocolate bar I saw her eating. You know. Maybe that does it for you. I don't know. See, even when times were the roughest, the apostles, the disciples of Christ, joyfully persevered. Why? Because the Helper was their strength. The Helper was all they needed. Wow. See, speaking of transformation taking place, I don't know about you, but there is such joy in knowing the divine director. There's joy in knowing that when I fall down, the Spirit's there to pick me up. But when I'm suffering, the Spirit's there to comfort. When I'm hurting, the Spirit's presence there to bring consolation. When I'm discouraged, the Spirit provides that encouragement. When I'm weak, the Spirit breathes new strength into me. Every day. Funny how we claim that, well, Sunday is the Lord's day. Psalm 93 proclaims that every day the Lord reigns. Every day. The Holy Spirit transforms your life. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Look at, let's go a little further here. Let's look at verse 8.
When he comes, you're going to love this. When he comes, just hold on. He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment.
Oh, wow. I can hardly wait.
When he comes, Jesus, see, when he explained that when the Holy Spirit works, he works in the area of convicting us of sin gently. You see, I think we're very good at trying to avoid that word convict. Because I think it's because we have a hard time facing ourselves sometimes. We're like Augustine. Look at his writings. He tells us in his early years, his attitude was, Lord, save me from my sins, but not yet. The Holy Spirit convicts concerning sin. There'll be no filling, there'll be no empowering, there'll be no direction if there's no conviction of ongoing sin in our life. The wonderful joy is in knowing that the Holy Spirit will gently convict us of our sin. Never draws attention to himself. He just gently convicts, letting us know what we've done wrong. Isn't it a comfort to know that gently he convicts us? This is how verse 13 takes place. Look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of truth that sanctifies us. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to lay hold of all that Christ is for us and works in us. We're called to focus on Christ as his people, but we're to live by the dynamic power of the Spirit. The Lord gave that to us. And as we open up the Word of God, as we look and study it, the fullness of the Spirit's ministry comes to life for us. How do I know God's decrees unless I read his Word? How do I keep his laws unless I know them? How do I know when I'm doing something wrong unless I'm in this? Spirit guides us as we read his word. But so many moments in our lives, I don't even recall what the Spirit waits to do for us. We go about life, we're busy, we get caught in everything else, struggling, wondering, forgetting all the while what we as Christians truly have here. Tap into. Zero in often on what we want instead of zeroing in on the Spirit of God and his filling so that we do what he wants. Fred and Ethel, they were out driving their very large, large Marquis Brougham 1970 huge vehicle. Both could barely see over the dashboard, but they were driving anyway. And as they were cruising along, they came to an intersection. The stoplight was red. They just went through it. Ethel, she thought for a moment, wait a minute. I must be losing it. I could have sworn we just went through a red light. After a few more minutes, they came to another intersection. Light was red, and again, they just kept sailing right clear through. Ethel, she almost sure that light had been red, but she was really concerned. I must be going crazy. She'd get a little nervous, and then at the next intersection, sure enough, light was red, and they went on through. And so she was sitting in the passenger seat. She turned to Fred, and she said, Fred, did you know that we just ran through three red lights in a row? You could have killed us both. And Fred turned to Ethel, and he said, oh, am I driving? Somehow we are like that. I notice some of you wives are going, that was you the other day. You know. Somehow we're like that in our Christian walk. We don't even realize that we're sitting in the driver's seat most of the time, and we need to lift up and say, hey, wait a minute, I just want to be the passenger. Lord, you just drive me and take me there. So often we just don't like sitting in the passenger seat because we just don't like the road that God takes us on, do we?
as we're guided into truth, His truth, we understand better that every aspect of our Christian life is performed by the Spirit of God. I mean, you read through the Romans 15, you'll understand that we love by the Spirit, that we're sanctified by the Spirit. You read Romans 8, we pray by the Spirit. Romans 15, we hope by the power of the Spirit. Romans 8, 14, we're led by the Spirit. Philippians 3, 3, we worship in the Spirit. Ephesians 3, 16, we're strengthened by the Spirit. And Romans 8, 4, we walk by and according to the Spirit. We're taught by the Spirit. We produce good fruit by the Spirit. I could list many, many aspects of the Spirit's activities in the life of the believer. But this demonstrates that Christian growth is accomplished only by the Spirit, and that it is absolutely necessary for us to be rightly related to Him and sensitive to His leading. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, we must have a genuine desire to live a life pleasing to God. We need to present ourselves as an offering to Him. So I ask this question: are you allowing the Spirit of God to transform your life? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this from the Message. It says it so well. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God brings the best out of you. I know no greater joy than that. Today, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to enter within your deep inner self and fill you to overflowing, so that your life is renewed day by day and your life is transformed by the renewing of your mind? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to do that for you? There's only two possible answers to that question: yes or no. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues or healing the lame or signs and wonders. Often those are just the smoke screens, the points of debate, which allow us to hide from answering that hard, probing question regarding you and your personal life. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your life? So when you do, then you will experience the unexplainable joy of divine direction. And to me, that's the only way to live. Margaret, I'm going to ask you to come and play. And as she does, I want you to just talk to God and meet with Him. And I don't know what you need to talk to Him about this morning. But maybe you need to cry out to Him and say, Lord, You sent the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Encourager for a reason. Just bow your heads and close your eyes and just talk to Him. And just, Lord, maybe you need to say, Lord, I want to be filled with Your Spirit today. I don't know what that means, but I want to be filled with Your Spirit to overflowing. I want You, God's Spirit, to invade my life today. To enter in. You might be hurting today. You might be confused. You might be walking through emotional scars or depression. I don't know what you're walking through today. But there is the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit to come alongside of you, to aid you. When you cry out to Him, He will come and help you. Ask Him to fill you. Ask for His presence in your life, so that every day for you will be like walking in front of God.
just walking before him, talking to him, obeying him. Speak to him today, the living God. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I mean, the prayer room is open. You can go to the prayer room after the service today, or even now if you need to, you go there. But maybe you're just sitting there quietly. You're saying, I need this. I've needed this today because I've been hurting. I've been trying to go it alone. I've been looking at myself too much. I've never been concentrating on God this past while. Today, I need you. I need you, Lord, in my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Just lift your hand where you're seated. If you're crying out to him that way, fill me, Lord. Fill me. Fill me today. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees those hands. Maybe today you're here and you've heard it before. You've heard that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you've heard about that he did that for you, but you've never grabbed a hold of that. You've never said, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life today. I ask you to forgive me for all those bad things that I've done, and I give you my life so that I can experience you in a fresh way. Maybe you've never come to him that way today, and I invite you to do that. Maybe for you, you found it hard today to cry out to God and say, fill me with your Spirit, because maybe you're just a little afraid of that. I tell you, there's nothing more wonderful and joyful than taking in that God invades you. Let's sing that. Spirit of living God, just make it your prayer. Spirit of the living God.